Our next speaker is Chris Graham and colleagues, I imagine, at Penn State and elsewhere. And the title of the talk is Pressure versus Particle Velocities from the Pedon to the Hill Slope Scale.
Thank you. Before I start, I should acknowledge my co-authors, Drs. Lynn McDonald, Barnard, and Ben Roosevelt. I am going to talk about the differences between pressure and particle velocities at a couple scales. And before I start, I should mention what I'm thinking about when I'm talking about pressure velocities. I'm talking about the response of a hydrometric variable such as water content, or as John was talking about, water table height or lateral subsurface flow. So these hydrometric variables can respond very quickly to precipitation and perhaps not at the same velocity that the actual water particles are moving, right? So the rainfall may be moving at a much different velocity than this hydrometric response. So the motivation for looking at this is what Jim Kirshner has called the first paradox of catchment and hill slope hydrology, that catchments, hill slopes, will store water for weeks to months but respond very quickly to rainfall. This is motivated by some work done, well, this has been seen at many, many catchments all over the place, but one of the first was at the Mai Mai catchments in New Zealand by Mosley. And this is lateral subsurface flow from a series of soil pits going up down a transect from the ridge of the hill slope down towards the base of the hill slope. And what Mosley saw was a very rapid response. Here's precipitation. Here's lateral subsurface flow. A very rapid response to precipitation in terms of lateral subsurface flow all the way down this transect. Later researchers at the site, Sklash et al. And Pierce et al. Found that this water coming out of these pits tended to be over 3 months old. So it's very old water. There's some reason to think that we can see this at the Pedon scale as well. So here's a plot by Lin and Zhu of soil moisture, and I'm sure anyone who's looked at soil moisture plots versus depth has seen this. A very rapid response to precipitation with depth, perhaps faster than the saturated hydraulic conductivity of the soil. So faster than you'd expect from Darcy's law. There's a couple of possible explanations for these observations. The first would be piston flow, or translatory flow, where new water lands on the soil surface and pushes old water down. So it's similar to a full hose analogy, where you've got a full hose of water, you add water to one end, water will come out the other end quickly. However, this doesn't really explain these rapid tracer fluxes we often see at these sites. So going back to the Mai Mai Hill Slope, Dean Brammer applied a tracer 35 meters upslope from a collection trench and saw tracer move 35 meters within 6 hours. So that would be much faster than you would expect based on this piston flow theory. The other theory would be preferential flow, where water is moving through large macro pores to depth or downslope. However, this doesn't explain this preponderance of old water in the outflow. So the question with preferential flow would be, where is the mixing occurring with old stored water? So we suspect one or both of these flow regimes is occurring at our sites, but how can we differentiate the two just based on water content fluxes or lateral subsurface flow? And the answer, of course, is tracers, as you might expect. So I'm going to show some experiments where I applied a coincident hydrometric pulse, so an increase in water, with a tracer application. If it's piston flow, I would expect to see the increase in hydrometric response at the same time as, or excuse me, I'd expect the increase in hydrometric response to be equivalent to the new water concentration. So by that I mean if the lateral subsurface flow increases 20%, I'd expect 20% of that water to be new applied water. I'd also expect the tracer velocity to be less than the hydrometric velocity. If we were looking at preferential flow, I'd expect the increase in the hydrometric response to be equal to the, oh, I misspoke back here with the piston flow. With the piston flow, you'd expect the percentage of new water to be less than the increase in hydrometric response. With preferential flow, you'd expect them to be the same, and you expect the tracer velocity to be roughly equivalent to this hydrometric response. So I've performed two experiments at two different field sites, looking at both vertical and lateral fluxes. We'll start with the vertical fluxes. This work was done at the Shale Hills Critical Zone Observatory over near State College here in Pennsylvania. Here I installed five TE probes at five depths, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 centimeters, and I applied a salt tracer on the surface prior to a rainstorm. When the rainstorm happened, I measured water content and soil EC at these five depths and was then able to measure both the hydrometric fluxes and the tracer fluxes. So we'll jump straight into some plots. The 20 centimeter probe didn't work, so I've removed the data from it. And what you can see is we were at pretty steady water content before the event and a rapid response in all of the sensors once the rainstorm started. If we zoom in, these little pink lines are showing the time of initial rise of the water content. And you can see a sequential, and they're in sequence, increase in water content with depth. Nothing too surprising. Yeah, that's all I have to say on that. So with the tracer, however, what we see is, again, a sequential increase in the electric conductivity of the soil solution. And again, they're in sequence. But the increase in electric conductivity decreases with depth. Okay? If we zoom in, this again is the same time period as I showed with the water content. You can see that there's some delay in the increase in EC from the water content increase. Yeah. So if we summarize that data, here we're looking at the signal velocity versus depth, and here I'm looking at the initial rise. The black squares, hopefully you can see that, are the soil moisture. So the velocity of the soil moisture signal seemed to increase with depth. And the red circles are the EC, which seemed to increase a little and then flatten off. Okay? In any case, they're not the same velocities. If we then look at the peak new water fraction, I've calculated it two ways. One is based on the soil moisture rise. So here I said any increase in soil moisture is new water. That's the black squares again. And then I also calculated using an n-member mixing analysis where I looked at the peak concentration of the EC versus the background or the input. And here you see the new water fraction decreases quite a bit. In fact, by 50 centimeters deep, we're less than 1% applied water, rainfall water. So, to conclude this section, I'd say that the velocities seem to be different, and there's a low percentage of new water at depth. So, this to me suggests that we're looking at vertical piston flow. So, the second step was to look at a lateral subsurface flow. And here we performed some experiments at the H.J. Andrews Experimental Forest in Oregon. Here we irrigated at steady state for 24 days on a section of hill slope about 8 meters wide by 20 meters up slope. Around day 20, once we were at steady state, we applied a coincident salt, bromide tracer and pulse of irrigation. So we irrigated at 3 millimeters per hour for 20 days, and then increase the irrigation just in a line source up to about 20 millimeters an hour for 20 minutes, and added a bromide tracer. And the bromide tracer was added directly to the soil bedrock interface to try to remove the vertical percolation effects. So, jump straight to the final plot of this. This gray bar is our pulse and irrigation. And the blue is the hill slope discharge. This is lateral subsurface flow measured at the base of the hill. The red is the bromide tracer. And what I see here is a nearly coincident response. So there doesn't seem to be much lag between the hydrometric response and the tracer response. If anything, this lag perhaps is due to adsorption or retardation, that sort of thing. So to conclude from this lateral experiment, it seems like the tracer is about equivalent to the hydrometric velocity, indicating preferential flow. So this is preliminary work. Clearly more needs to be done, but we've got a perceptual model now of what we think is going on. Namely, we've got piston flow vertically, followed by preferential flow downslope. This would explain the mixing with the old water, and the which would occur vertically through the soil profile, while still allowing for this rapid response. So clearly the next step is to do a joint experiment where we apply a tracer and measure both the vertical fluxes and the downslope fluxes at the same time. And that's where we're at. I believe it's the pore water. Okay, so the tracer was applied dry on the surface. So it was a table salt just scattered on the surface. How do you mean?
You have, let's say, a layer, initially a layer of soil water is just on the surface. Then all the salt is gone. And the density of the solution is very high. Then you could have just a longer density.
So if that was the case, I would expect to see a faster movement of the tracer than the bulk water, right? And we saw, so I think that just supports my conclusions. Okay.
So I have a question. Back in the early 70s, Warwick and others wrote a paper in 1971 where they were looking at this miscible displacement type of experiment that you're talking about. And they were able to back out the initial water content based on the differences in the arrival of these peaks, the peak of the water content versus the peak of the tracer. And at least in a one-dimensional flow, it may be possible to sort of back that out and actually quantify the antecedent moisture content. I'm wondering if you've tried to do that.
I have not. That's a great idea.
Yes, Dave.
You know, I haven't. I believe that it decreases with depth at the site.
There's one more question.
I just wondered what the difference in initial conditions and between the east sites was, and how you think that affects the processes of and then your arrival times of piston versus preferential flow time.
Sure. So the lateral experiment, we were at steady state irrigation wise. We weren't by any means saturated, but it was wet. And during the vertical experiment, it was after a prolonged dry period this summer. So the conditions are very different. Perhaps, although I could see it happening the other way, right? Because you often have preferential flow during dry conditions, too. So I think clearly doing them jointly at the same time is warranted.